I'm Dora.
Dora.
Yes.
Where were you born?
In Warsaw.
Warsaw, Poland.
Yes.
And when were you born? What year?
That's a question.
About?
Well, I'm 82 years old. 82. I was born, I remember, Mama, Europe, they don't know exactly the
date. Exactly.
Before, they say before Pesach.
Before the Passover, right?
Yeah, by a week or two before Pesach.
Yeah.
Must be April.
Right. And what kind of education did you get?
Well, not too much of an education. Used to go night schools, days
in Warsaw.
Warsaw, everything was.
Every night schools. Why didn't you go?
No, there was no night school much. Only daytime.
Only daytime. Did you go to school there?
Yeah, of course.
And did you meet your husband there?
No, I met him in New York.
In New York. Yeah. Can you tell me something about your husband's background? Where was he born?
In Brest-Litovsk.
And where's that?
Brest-Litovsk, in Russian.
In Russian.
Poland, yeah.
At one time it was Russian, at one time it was Poland.
In Brest-Litovsk, Russian.
Right.
What year was it, Brest-Litovsk?
And he was the same age as I.
About the same age.
Yes.
So both of you were born in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And about the same time, but you didn't know each other until you came to this country.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
We got acquainted in the ladies' house, millinery.
Working in a shop?
Yes.
What were you doing?
Millinery, hats by hats.
And what did you do in that shop?
I was sewing hats.
You were sewing?
Hats.
You worked on a sewing machine?
Yeah, that's right.
And what did he do?
He came up in the shop where I was working. He named one another the name of the boss. His name was Barbara. I'll never forget the Barbara. He came up and I was working there a few months already, 5-6 months or so. He came up and I got the dissatisfied. I didn't like it, so I went down and got a job on Broadway, a big factory, and I made very nice good hats. I took him up. He made there at the factory $70 a week, and when I took him up, he made nearly $30 in 1 week. Very much. Different.
That was a lot of money.
Oh yeah, at that time, sure. From little money that's made in the barber shop, and I was there too. I made pretty the same, a dollar more, a dollar less, something like that. And then I took him up. I went to the big shop. I walked in the street, and saw the advertisement. They need help. And when I came in, and the poor lady asked me if I know this kind of work, if I ever worked on that machine, I said yes. I never worked in that machine until it's my first time in my life. And I stopped working, I stopped the needle right in my finger. I'll never forget it. And the lady, the poor lady, was a very nice person. She went over and put some stuff on it, and bent it around, and started working again. Then across the way, the girl was working, and she had a different machine, but she was working very fast. And I was thinking about myself, oh God, how long will I do the kind of work so fast? It turned out that I beat her already.
You were beating her.
Yeah. And we got good friends with her. I got along very, very nice. She invited me to her home, and then she got acquainted with her aunt, and she made a dress for me. I still have a dress. A velvet dress.
Yeah.
The velvet dress, I remember we bought it. Paid 5 or 6 hours a yard. 3 hours to take me. And her aunt made it for me.
Mom, you got paid $30 and then you got an increase to 70 a week? Is that how it went?
No, that's just Pop.
Oh, all right. Pop started at 30 and then
he got. But he was doing something different.
No, the same thing as I.
He was working on the sewing machine too.
Yeah, of course, sure. But when I left and got into a bigger factory, a bigger shop, very famous. Stone Brothers.
Did he go with you?
No, I went first, then I took him up.
Oh.
From barbershop, I took him. I said, well, you stop that and come up at the factory. They have a very good line of work, and they get paid very well. So from $7-$8 a week, the first week that he got was nearly $30, the same week he measured. I think it was piecework.
Piecework,
Yeah.
So he must have been a very rapid worker.
He was a very good worker.
Let's go back to Europe for a moment. I'd like to ask you, what kind of Jewish background did you have?
Religious, very religious.
You came from a very religious family.
Yeah.
And your husband?
My husband the same. I think I came in he came from a very religious, but I was I had more religious than he.
More training, religious training, or your family was more Orthodox?
My family was more Orthodox, yes. Mm-hmm. Especially my grandfather, then my father. But when he came here, and he took not a shave, but a haircut and his beard. I hardly recognized him, and then he
This is your grandfather?
No, my father.
Your father?
Yeah. I hardly recognized him with his very dirty head, you know, and his beard. But he had a nice little beard, which he took very good care of, but it was cut off, not shaved. Of course, my aunt and him came to the town to pick me up to get me there.
They were already here?
Yeah, my
and,
father.
And they sent for you. Did your mother come with you?
No. My father came first, and I came after. Then my mother, no, then my brother, you know, Sam Remerson, he came by himself. And he stayed the same building with my aunt. I stayed with my mother's sister.
After Sam, then you came, or your mother came?
I came first. First my father, then after me, came me. And then my brother came, Sam. And then the last was my mother with the two brothers. With Charlie and Morris.
Are you sure Sam came before you or after you?
After me. I was the first.
Oh, I see.
And so when you came, you went to work immediately in the factory.
Yes, Charlie. I went to. I learned that the profession, the song heads, Warsaw, which I had, my father and mother had to pay for me. Not only for me. Anybody wanted to learn that trade had to be paid.
All right. So you were apprenticed. You were an apprentice. In Warsaw, you learned the trade.
Yeah, that's right.
And your husband learned a trade. Did he learn any trade before he came?
No.
How old was he when he came to this country?
He was the same. He was about 17 years old.
When he came?
18 years old.
When he came?
Yeah, he was young.
All right. Well, now you were both living in New York City?
Yes.
New York City.
Yeah.
All right. What brought you to Delaware?
That's a good question. And he always talked. He was a very good worker. He made, in the last factory where he worked, he made the most money for all the workers. He made $100 a week.
Oh, and what year was that?
1920.
That was quite a bit of money.
Oh, yeah, that time. Oh, yeah. He this was the most money from the other workers.
More money?
He worked at the machine, they made the little dots.
Applique?
Got the name of it. I had one head that disappeared. I don't know how he made it for me. He made that worker. It was just a few people that knew that work, and they got the most of the money from the other workers.
So what made him decide?
He always, before we got married, he always talked about the farm. He never wanted to work in a shop.
But did he ever work on a farm in Europe?
No. He worked as a bookbinder.
In Europe?
Yeah. Not for long. He was a young boy when I learned the trade, for 60-70 years old. When he came here to New York, also worked a while.
Had he ever gone to school in Europe?
Well, yes, he went to school, the Hebrew school, the Cheder.
He went to the Cheder, which is the Hebrew school. But did he study for a long time there?
Well, sure, he studied. They started study when they were all 13 years, started studying the Cheder, and then they go to yeshiva. He didn't go to yeshiva, just the Cheder.
So he went to school for a couple of years.
Here?
There, in Europe.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Just for a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years, right, yeah.
And then he came here. Now you said he always wanted to own
always
land.
Always talked about farming, you know, always being the free. He made a lot of money in the factories, more than any. Was very good at it, but he didn't want to stay there. Always was thinking of the fields and the nature. Always.
He enjoyed nature.
Yeah, oh yeah. Always. One time he walked around. One time he went with his boyfriend and working at the farm in summertime. Farms to help out, along with the farming work. So they worked there a few weeks, and they complained the food was very poor. At one time they gave me a little fried potatoes and a little meat, old meat that wasn't meat, and milk, glass of milk. they had to do a lot of physical work. They had to the cows, milking, and the field work, picking potatoes, tomatoes. So they both decided to leave in spring. My father was leaving. They wanted to walk to the train station. So if they asked somebody, I don't remember. So they got the wrong way, they had to go back. So the people told them to go the certain way to the station, train station, bus station. So going back, so I went back to the same station, to the same place again. He told me that. I'll never forget it.
That was his whole experience with farming, Mom? That was the only experience he ever had with farming?
Yeah, that's right.
But he still wanted to be a farmer.
Oh, yeah, always. Even when I was going around with him.
He was always talking about it.
Yeah, always wanted to be.
So then what happened?
He hated to be in the shop.
All right, so what did he do? How did he get to come to Delaware?
Oh, yeah, the Jewish Society, the Jewish Agricultural Society, advising. I think he and his friend, he got a friend that he was in partnership with him. So they both went to the agricultural and advising.
They both went to the Agricultural Society.
Yeah, that's it. They recommended him here in Delaware. They recommended that.
But first, didn't he quit his job and then travel all over the United States?
Oh, well, he had traveled the United States. He went to California, Los Angeles. I had my aunt and uncle and her family and her children. So he stayed with them. He went with his brother. His brother was older by 2.5 years or so. So the brother, of course, did the station and had an office. So he stayed, and the brother hired himself picking fruit.
He hired himself out as a worker to pick fruit.
To the orchard people.
Right.
Yeah, so there he called my husband to work with him together. So finally they got tired of it, they didn't get enough money paid. So he left, and my husband, he liked it. Pop wanted to be there, and he asked me to come with the children. I had both my boys.
Solid,
ready.
How old, 2 or 3?
Yeah, between 2, 3 years, 4 years at most. So I asked him how much money he's making there. He had to pay me to go to travel with the two kids, to leave their home and everything. So he said the most he can make is $20-some a week. From 89 down. I said, oh no, I said, I'm not going there. You come back home. So he did come back home.
But Mom, didn't he also go to Montana and Texas?
Texas.
And he said California he didn't like because of the earthquakes?
No, I didn't hear him saying about
earthquakes. He told us that. He said he loved California, except he didn't want to be a farmer there. He was afraid of the earthquakes.
Is that so? He didn't talk to me about it that day.
All right, and then he told us he went to Montana. Yeah. And he said Montana was beautiful, but it was too desolate and too open.
So much desert.
Right, not desert, not too far and wide between settlements.
But anyway, he wanted to settle there and to be there.
He wanted to be in the West?
Yeah, he wanted to be in California, close to my aunt and the family. She had two sons, two daughters. She took him in very nicely. She liked him. And he liked the climate there. I said, nothing to do, I'm not going, you're not making enough money. I'm not going to drag with the two kids. Because one was 2 years, the other was a little over 3.5. I said, you come home, you make here $80, $90 by your boy. And I'm going to be the most he said he can make these $25 or $30 a week. So I said, no, he came back home. He looked good.
So he went to the Agricultural Society.
Yes.
Mom, I also think he went to Texas, and he liked Texas. Actually, he didn't like Texas. It was too hot and humid.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't want to be a farmer there.
Right. I didn't discuss
and
much.
And then I think he also, didn't he go to New England, and he found that the climate was too cold? This is the story he's told us,
Yeah, he didn't tell me that. He didn't discuss it with me that way. He was very anxious to come home.
Yeah, but so he traveled around the United States looking for a place to farm.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that was the main thing.
Where could he farm? Who suggested Delaware?
The society, Jewish society.
The agricultural society.
Yes, they suggested it. And they got him acquainted with a farmer here, the name of Greenlee, you know.
Right. What was his name?
Robert H. Greenlee. Yeah, Robert H. Greenlee.
This is the reason that he settled in Delaware that Pop told us.
Yeah.
He said that Delaware had temperate climate. He liked the temperature. It wasn't too hot and it wasn't too cold. It didn't have hurricanes like Florida, because he was thinking of Florida also.
Yes,
it didn't have the earthquakes that California had.
It's funny,
it didn't have the severe weather of New England. It was close to all the markets, like Baltimore, Washington, Philadelphia, and New York. The soil was beautiful, and he decided this was it. And with the blessing of the Jewish Agricultural Society, this is where he settled.
And then he got a loan from the Jewish Society.
How much money did they give him?
They gave him, I think, $2,000. Quite a lot of money. And he had to pay interest, too.
All right, what kind of interest did he have to pay them? Do you remember?
No, I don't know, 5 or 6 cents.
Percent, yeah.
He got in the farming with his friend as a partner.
So, this friend from New York.
Yeah,
from New York. And your husband went in partnership and bought this land.
Yeah.
Is that the land that we're sitting on today?
Yes, yeah.
So you're still living on the same farm, the same land.
From 1920.
Yeah, and it has been operated by your family.
Yes, that's right.
Who did he buy the farm from, Mom?
Greenlee.
Robert H. Greenlee?
Yeah. He paid for the farm $12,000.
Over $12,000.
Yeah. He got in partnership with his friend, so he changed his mind. It was too hard work for him. A friend of his. They worked together by the millinery. They worked together as partnership by the machine, but the millinery was the heads. But when he came here and he saw it was a hard life for his friend, so he changed his mind. He lost his deposit, $100 to two.
He lost his whole deposit.
His friend. Because his friend did close his door, honey. That's the main thing.
No, I want to see that train.
What do you want to see there?
The friend lost his deposit.
Yeah, it was $100 or $200.
This is the deposit for the land?
Yeah, for the land, for the farm, yeah. Honey, you close the door, wouldn't be so much trouble.
No, it's fine.
You like it that way?
Yes.
All right.
It's not coming in. It's raining down the street.
Yeah, all right. That's good. So it's not, there's no storm.
Now that left your husband all by himself to run the farm.
Yeah, that's right. Then he had a brother. This is really interesting. Then his older brother, was with him in California. He came back here too. And he was very interested and loved the farm. So my husband went to partnership with him. He didn't want to do it. So I suggested, and I couldn't understand that. I said, your own brother, with the other stranger, you wanted to go. With your own brother, you're not too anxious. He didn't say much. But afterwards, I found out that he was right. He liked the farm very much, but he couldn't do the work as much as my husband did. He wasn't so handy for it. And then he sent for his wife, and his wife was very religious. And she didn't want to stay here. I made a lot of trouble between both brothers. And so I stepped in. I said, well, the farm can only exist if we take it over, or if they take it over, or we sell it. I said, we cannot be no more in partnership with them. We cannot stay. And she quite it. She was very anxious for that answer, for that idea. So she said, yes, you have the farm, and we're going to leave. We don't want it. He wanted it, but she promised him that she'll get the farm in New Jersey among the Jewish people. Maybe he got the loan from somebody, $200, and he liked it, the idea to be among the Jewish farmers and be in the farm. He was very anxious to be in the farm. He hated to work in a factory, in a shop. But she was very religious, and she didn't want to be bothered with the farming, planting, or doing things like that to help out. So he had a lot of trouble with her. But anyway, he had to go back to his working, men's work. Men's work, you know, jackets, pants,
yeah.
Things like that.
He went back into the sewing trade.
Yeah, that's right.
Until he could save enough money to go into the...
Yes, he got a loan. He did buy a little farm in New Jersey among the Jewish farms.
Yeah, and where was that, Rhineland?
Yeah, in New Jersey, Rhineland, somewhere. So then she didn't change, she didn't want to go back even there. It cost her, he sold it, it was terrible. So they had to go back to the poor man to the factory to wake, start peddling.
All right, now, you said that where were your children born?
My children was born in a hospital in New York.
New York City.
Doctor.
Were you living here at the time?
And I went. come to New York have your boy to
two show? Two were born before she moved here, right? Betty and Sally were born in New York City before you moved here, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. They was raised here. They came here very
Late. But two children were born before you moved.
Yes.
You moved here in 1920.
Yes.
And the other children were born while you were here. And you went back to New York City to have your children. Why?
Well, because I had a very good doctor there. The same doctor took all my children.
You had what? How
did you have your children?
Well, you're going to write it down by cesarean.
By cesarean section.
Yeah.
So you had five cesarean births.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And
well, there was a woman, excuse me, that she had their seven cesarean.
Oh, yeah, I know. Fine.
Yeah. And so, you
the same doctor was a wonderful doctor, was an angel. They loved me, they loved him.
That's marvelous.
Everyone that he delivered the children, they had such a good opinion. They loved him, they liked him so much. One woman I heard her saying that if my father would come out from his grave,
Can you show you for one second?
Okay, just a minute.
Why?
Children were born before you moved, and the rest of your children were born here. It's all right. Now, what about the children's Jewish education? You and your husband were both Jewish,
yeah.
And you were living in downstate Delaware. How were you able to educate them in a Jewish manner?
Well, not much. My father was here for a few summers. He did teach them. Jewish, Hebrew, reading in the Siddur. He was a very good rabbi, very good rabbi. But he said it wouldn't help them because if they don't practice, they don't read the Yiddish paper and they don't read the Yiddish book.
Yiddish, you mean the Jewish paper?
The Jewish papers.
Right.
Or they can read a little bit. My father teached him very good, twice a day, each time an hour, 2 hours a day. And he was a wonderful good teacher. So he said, they'll forget. If they don't practice it, they wouldn't know much. They haven't got no cheder, and they don't talk Yiddish, and then read the Yiddish paper. I get my paper, the Yiddish paper every
you
day.
You still get the Jewish paper?
I pay for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
For the forwards.
So you get the Jewish forward delivered here by mail?
Yeah, by mail, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
And did your children remember? Did they know how to read?
Yeah, they do. Not as good as I. A little bit. Not much. Because they don't practice. They don't read the paper. They only read
English.
But they
still can read it, Mom.
Yeah, they can read some. Yeah.
Was it hard for you to be Jewish? Was it hard for... Did you keep kosher?
Most of it, yeah. I love to keep kosher. Yeah, I still have separate dishes.
Right. Was it hard for you to get kosher meat?
Yes, it was.
Where did you have to go to get kosher meat?
We had to go to Wilmington.
Into Wilmington from here.
Yeah.
And we didn't have freezers in those days, so what did you do?
Well, we had the ice boxes.
Yeah.
The ice boxes, yeah.
But you ended up having to use non-kosher meat, didn't you? But then who was it taught you how to kill the chickens by the way the rabbi does?
Yeah, the rabbi teach my husband how to kill a chicken.
So you became your own chef?
So you learned how to make your food meat kosher.
Yeah, that's right. If you got meat kosher, we used to get most of it from Wilmington. My husband had to go to Dover and ask the people. Mostly ate chicken. Ask the people, the women, if they do go to take the... Then the rabbi came here, slept one or two nights, and it did...
The rabbi from where?
He came from New York or Philadelphia, either one.
Yeah.
So he did teach my husband for the chickens.
Yeah.
How to make the chicken kosher.
Right.
He took a chicken, I remember, he was very short, bent it down his neck, and he said, you pick away the feathers, the hair, the feathers was in the neck, make it very clean. And he said, by each chicken, you can't use a chalav, you know that, but a shrechet. But use a razor blade. Each time, use a new razor blade. And I'll never forget that they were standing the way he did teach him. He said, cut this blade through and through, but don't move it up and down. Just go through one way, up and back, on the same side. Just like a shochet would do it. Yeah. What did they make him?
Yeah, a shochet is a Jew. I have to explain as a Jew.
A shochet that kills the chickens or the or cows for kosher.
And so that they are kosher for Jewish use.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when you get the chicken or the meat, you have to soak it and salt it. Half an hour.
And you did that to all your meat.
Yeah. That's right.
And so you still have two sets of dishes here that you use for milk.
Yeah, I still
use
it.
Yeah. Passover.
And you have separate Passover dishes.
She doesn't
separate
dishes for milk and meat.
For milk and meat, I have it the Passover.
Yes.
But other the vegetables, not a thing. I use the same. I can use
right,
the same.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. So now, when the High Holy Days came, where did you worship? Did you have a
In the earlier days, my husband went to the synagogue in
Where
Dover.
Where was there a synagogue?
In Dover.
Was there a synagogue in Dover?
Yeah, they had a private, they used to rent for the holidays, a private house.
The theater, too.
Yeah, they were over there. And now they have a real synagogue.
Yeah, but not in 1920.
Well, I'm telling you that, but...
Didn't you go to Orkin, too? Orkin had a...
Yeah, the Orkins. He went to a family at Orkin. Orkin Brothers in Milford.
And you went there to
their house?
Yeah, we used to sometimes sleep there. Or then sometimes we rented a house, an empty house. And we paid, remember, me, my husband, Shalom, and another couple. We took the house. They had separate rooms for to sleep.
For the holiday?
Yeah, for the holiday. And then we used to eat most by Mr. and Mrs. Orkin.
And who conducted the services?
They had their rabbi used to come from Philadelphia, Wilmington.
How many Jewish families lived here in 1920?
Well, they lived many more than now. When we came in, they worked very hard and hard life, and they moved back to the city.
So
about four or five families. We had to pump the water, and there was the kushers, they were basically kushers, and they couldn't get it so soon, so they had to move back to the city.
It was a hard life, so they left.
That's right.
So
pump the water, I used to pump water. I used to pump myself water by the pump they had put it down there by the barn. And when I pumped the water, they closed. It was a beautiful day, but frost freezing. When I was ready to hang it up, the clothes was frozen. Had to leave it.
Four or five families left. More came, but only four or five stayed. Is that what you meant?
No, Dolly, they didn't come. The one that left, they did not came.
No, that's not what I mean. No others came. Four or five were here, and they all left.
And
so you were the ones only that stayed.
Yeah,
the Orkins stayed. And Sidell stayed.
Honey, the Orkins are not farmers.
Are you talking about Jewish farmers, Mom?
Yes, yes, sure. Okay. Yeah,
so there were just four or five Jewish farmers?
Yes.
But they all left.
Did they all come with the agricultural fund?
I think so. I think it was advertised advice on the agricultural.
Mm-hmm.
Sidell stayed.
Oh, yes, Sidell stayed.
And Bloom stayed.
Bloom stayed, yeah.
And Blackman stayed.
Yeah.
And who else? Geloff
was it. Couple, just two, husband and wife, no children.
One
died, the husband died, and she had to leave with the family to New York or Philadelphia.
So she didn't stay very long?
No, they couldn't stay. They wasn't much. The one that still stays in the Sidells.
And what about Greenberg, Mom? Harry Greenberg?
He was a businessman. He used to buy cows, chickens, stayed in the town.
Well, so did the Orkins. They didn't really work farmers. They were businessmen, too.
That's right. Yeah, they were.
So, you and the Sidells were really the only farmers.
Yeah.
And
the Blackmans.
And the Blooms.
Blackmans and Blooms.
Blackmans and Blooms.
The Blackmans already moved away quite a few years ago, a long time ago. And I don't know if there was farming there. I don't think so. They didn't bother. They were too old and they didn't care to start again with farming. So we just remained in this way. Yeah, then California.
You really are the only one that's maintained a farm.
Yeah.
The Sidells are just chicken farmers now.
Yeah.
They're still farmers. They're considered farmers,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
They're just chickens. Obviously, he was and chickens, not even soybeans, and there were just the chickens and eggs.
Chickens and eggs.
Yeah.
And now you have chickens and eggs?
Just for myself.
No, you do.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Now, in those early days, how did you get along with your neighbors?
Oh, that's a good question. Very good. My husband was a very, very good neighbor. He used to trust in bad things about the machinery from miles away. One time I remember a colored man came about the away from them to come here. He didn't want to let him have once he gave, but the next time he didn't want to let him have. He said, you should be good friends with your neighbor. They should help you with your machinery. You need it. Same thing that I did. They helped me and then I helped them when he did.
So all your husband always helped the neighbors. How about you? Did you know the neighbors' wives? Did your children play together?
Yes, Dolly. We used to make dinners for them. We used to chop wood, cut wood in winter time. So all the farmers came together to help out the one that they had to pile up the wood, chop up the wood for firewood, and used to burn wood all the time. So that man came and wanted to buy it, and he didn't let him have it. One time he didn't, the other said no. And then what else did he do?
Oh, all the farmers came together to help.
Oh yeah, to help to make a dinner. Then I had to make a dinner cutting the wood for the whole winter. We used to have the same wood as we have now, the same stove. And so the women came together and I made the dinner for them. Three or four women. No men.
Women made the dinner for the men.
For the men, yes, sure. They came in, it was everything, the chicken, the steak, and the soup, and everything.
And you had a good time.
Yeah, the men had a good time. We had a good work to do all the work.
And everybody
they
brought all their children.
They had to clean the chicken, even cook the chicken, wash the chicken. Yeah.
And everybody had a good time.
Yeah,
Mom, tell Yetta about the fact when Pop first came to the farm, he knew nothing about saddling a horse or bridling or milking a cow, and all the neighbors taught him.
Yeah.
And he knew nothing about plowing or cultivating.
Excuse me. Now you didn't know that, or maybe you heard, you forgot. He was so busy that he used to come back from the city about business or something. So he started plowing the ground, and he was wearing his tie and shirt.
Is it one ring or two?
It's
two.
So at the end, when they were going by with their car, they stopped for a moment for a few minutes. I looked and smiled and didn't understand the farmer with his tie. Is this coming?
He was so busy, he didn't have time.
That's right. No, he was so interested in the work, but he didn't think of taking off his tie and shirt and change the work shirt. It had the city clothes.
Well, did he know how?
What was it, honey?
Morning.
Yeah.
Breakfast
supper.
Did you know? Did he know how to saddle a horse?
No, he didn't know.
A bridle.
Yeah. No, he didn't know. They picked him. The farmers liked him. His language, you know, liked him very much. But one time, did I ever tell you maybe how he was fixing his sprayer? He used to spray his, it was an orchard, apples.
The whole farm was an orchard, apples and peaches eventually.
So his hand got cut in the machine, in the
Mom,
wheel.
That's right. Oh.
In the wheel. And it pressed. Because the weight of the thing made 40, 50 pounds or more. And he hollered my, it was so painful. So finally the farmer Lambert came over with a big piece of iron, 12 out, and lifted up. And after that, it was laid down and it was not. And it was a little shorter. He got better.
Well, the interesting part of it is that all these farmers that taught my father to farm from the basic farming to everything they knew, eventually he ended up teaching them many, many things.
Because he became more modern.
Right, and he went into greenhouse work.
Yeah.
Developed one of the earliest tomato plants in three states. And he developed a cantaloupe, devised a method whereby you could plant cantaloupes, and they're doing it now, in individual peat pots so that they could get a very early production, very early crop. And this was experimental work that my father had done. The University of Delaware would come down and consult or give my father special seeds to experiment with. And he would give them reports as to the as to how the crop was coming along, as to how the plants were doing. And he was highly respected.
They came, the professors came.
Of the university.
The agricultural professors used to come and go around with him in the orchard. And the one asked the other, one would tell what kind of work he's doing, how he's doing, what he's doing. He was very good, very successful with his orchards. He was a king of the Jewish king of the orchards, of course.
The Jewish king of the orchards.
Yeah, of the year.
That's quite a title.
Yes.
You must have been the Jewish queen.
Yeah. I queen about the stove and cooking.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get back to the work that you did. What did you do on the farm?
I'm telling you.
Mom was a pioneer.
Yeah. Tell me about the work that you did in those days.
I'm telling you, I was cooking, washing, and cleaning.
So how did you have to drag the buckets of water 100 yards down from the house and boil them on a stove with a huge tins and a take a stick?
Oh, the boiling. I used to boil that time the clothes. Do you remember they used to have the boiling kettle? The kettle and the washtub.
Just the big tin.
I washed it with the board too plenty times.
So anyway, you used the stick to stir it because the water was so boiling hot?
I don't remember what you said. I suppose I had to turn it over.
It would take you all day to do your load of wash, wasn't it, Mom?
Yeah, it did take many hours.
Really?
Yeah.
And you had to, when did you get running water here?
Oh, maybe quite a few years after. 6, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. They had the Delco, remember the Delco?
Right. Pop was one of the first farmers to devise his own electric system via Delco. The farmers refused to sign in early years. You needed the signature of all the farmers along the road to get in REA, which is rural electrification. They refused to sign, and he got so disgusted with them that he said, I'm going to have electricity regardless of whether you want it or not. And he got his own Delco system. His own battery, his own setup in a special building. Remember
yeah, they didn't want, yeah, they don't shoot, I remember.
And so we had electricity for many, many years before the farmers finally realized that they were
missing
out on an awful lot of ease in farming and living. And they went ahead and finally signed.
The first one was Greenlee.
Yes.
He had the Delta fixed in his place.
And Pop.
Pop, and then the others afterwards.
So you didn't really have very much time to socialize, did you? You didn't have time to get together with neighbors' wives. You were pretty busy. You had five children?
Four children.
I had four children. Then I raised Fritz Sarah.
Right. She had four children and two a nephew and a niece, a schizophrenic and a retarded man. She raised all of those.
The one I took out from a home. She was about 2.5 years old.
From the time he was 16.
Oh, him, Patty?
Yes. She had times in the winter. Oh, Mom, tell about the early years when Pop would go back to the millinery work and leave you alone with your children.
Oh, yeah, that was a terrible time.
Well, tell us what happened.
We had a tenant here. He lived in this room and upstairs had two rooms. But anyway, I occupied two rooms. And he was a terrible, dangerous man. But he was a good worker. My husband wanted him.
What do you mean he was a dangerous man?
Dangerous man. He was. He had a terrible temper. He could. He did kill a man, a neighbor. His mother's sweetheart shot him. He had to leave Delaware. So that man lived here with me, with his wife, of course, and I was here with the. How many children? You was here with me that time?
Was I born then?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's right. You was born before you sick. So this was a terrible experience I had with him. Yes. He got acquainted with a neighbor. She was very much afraid of him. And her husband used to be making whiskey. How do you call it?
A moonshiner.
A moonshiner. It's another name for it. And he used to hide the whiskey in our orchard for the agents for this. For the agents that used to come
when
out.
The agents came, so
the government agents.
Yeah, the government agents, they come look around there. So, and they was afraid of him, so they was very friendly with him. So one time, I gave him an argument. He took my horse, our horse, with a doibin, and went for her to buy her groceries. So I found it out, and I said, I didn't know he was such a crazy dog, he was a dangerous man. I said, you took my horse, the horse, he went with the doibin, why didn't you ask me if I needed something, I need bread and other things you could get for me. That's why I criticized him, and gave him a little argument, and didn't holler and insulted him. He got terrible mad. What did he do to get even with me? He took, bought bread, white bread, and put poison, poisoned up the bread.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and put it in my orchard.
Oh.
By the trees. So God helped me. Instead, my chickens, I used to let out the chickens late in the afternoon, between 3 or 4 o'clock. She let her chickens free.
She, meaning the lady?
By the neighbor, yeah.
The one who put the stuff in your...
No, she. He did.
The
one who stayed with me here.
Oh, the wife?
The wife of the man.
The man,
not the wife.
No, but whose chickens were they?
There was Kemp's chickens.
Oh,
across the way.
A neighbor's chickens.
Yeah, just across the way, yeah. She let them out free. They used to come to my orchard and used to live, pick, you know, the wheat. They found a lot of food there, and always ran over. So that dog didn't, that devil didn't know that that her chicken's gonna get killed. He thought he'd get even with me, kill my chickens. I left my chickens out in the afternoon, late. She left them out free. They went over right away to the orchard. The poor chickens died, every one of them. She lost 10, 12 hens, beautiful. That's a terrible thing. So I went over to Municipal, and I told her, I said, look at that. This I couldn't explain so good in English. Look at the joke, I said. He wanted to kill my chickens, and Mrs. Kemp's chickens died. They went over and got and ate it, poisoned bread. So she said, instead of sympathizing, she said, for such a joke, you can go to jail. Oh, I heard that, I felt that. So I was thinking that she's friendly with him instead of me, instead of sympathizing me. So I went home, and the two children, before she was born, and I made him go to sleep, and I walked the floor, and I said, oh, God, help me. I'm here surrounded with enemies. But Mrs. Case and Kemp's, Mrs. Kemp didn't believe that I did it. They had a suspicion to know that he did it. But they couldn't do nothing against him. They was afraid of him. He was a dangerous man.
Was he still at this time renting these rooms? Still
yeah, he
here?
Lived. Yeah, he lived here in this room with his wife.
So how did you get rid of him?
How get the, yeah, he, I'm telling you, it's a story for my husband promised him if he do the work with him, milk the cow and took care of the fields, these, that, he'll bring him a pair of shoes, good new shoes. So my husband used to come every 2-3 weeks for the weekends. Came, let's say, Saturday night, slept overnight, the next day he went home. He went back to his factory, to his work, his lady's heads. So he stayed at night. He went home at night, sometimes even walked from the station 3-4 miles to come here to the house. One time I remember I had the little chicks and I was feeding them in the heaven, giving them the heat at night. It was winter time, freezing. So I had to have the kerosene lamps, the kerosene heaters. It was 9-10 o'clock and I was just warm and went in there. So all of a sudden I raised my head up, I see he was looking in the window down there with the chicken and so far. He walked over from the station, didn't want to bother anybody. It was too late, came by 9-10 o'clock.
Why was your husband working in New York?
Oh, that's a good question. He had to work to make to pay for the interest.
On this farm?
Yeah, he couldn't pay the principal, at least the interest yet. And then Mr.
What year was that, do you remember?
Yeah, 1921, 25, 24, all this.
So he had to go to work frequently. He had to
all winter long when there was
all
no crops.
Winter.
Yeah, not a few seasons.
Oh.
A few, my baby, but
not during the spring and summer. He farmed then.
Yeah, that's right. No. Just before it got.
Did any other farmers go in and work in the winter also?
No. Very few did it. Well, he was a good worker. He made the money. He had to pay for the interest, most interest. Many pounds was taken away dollar from the mortgagee was a lady. And she took away, Miss Halkin told us, see the farm when it went by with pass machine? This farm is taken away from that lady, mortgagee. The other one farm. We had a good lawyer, remember his lawyer? Satterfield.
Satterfield.
Remember?
Lawyer,
you know,
Satterfield.
How do you know him?
Well, I know the name.
Satterfield. He was a wonderful, he's a holy man. He stopped at the mortgagee. He said, if that man farmer will not pay you, I'll pay. It's guaranteed.
He had great faith in your husband.
Oh yeah. He liked him. He had a lot of, you know, he got the whistle mixed up. There was another Jewish man, you know, Fanny Markowitz, and her husband was a shoemaker, and had a very bad name. Not as an honest man. So
the other Mr. Markowitz was an honest man.
My husband was the other. The other wasn't.
Oh, the other one wasn't honest.
You made a big mistake.
Okay.
My husband was a very honest man. This I can say. I could swear by the Bible. So the lawyer liked my husband very much, and he said good for her, for him. He said, if you don't pay, I'll pay. So many times I had to go with him in winter time, freezing weather, and had to sign for the later on to pay. And that lawyer had to say, sign his name too, that we'll pay later when the crops comes in. It was a hard life. And one time, I remember, we had a few dollars. It made that a little better. And we used to get in from the kitchen. We used to get, this room was closed, of course. And we was going into this kitchen room with a big stove in the middle. No, a heater. The heater, the cook stove was the same place as another one. About the heater, so it was very cold. So one time I moved the table to the door to let the wind go in. Oh yeah. One time he had to make a payment for the mortgagee. That's $500-$600 or so, the last payment. And then he wanted to improve the house. Now he had to put the brick it up so the wind shouldn't come in winter time and the heat shouldn't come in so much in summertime. So I said, you pay the last payment. We waited so many years, we'll wait another year. So my husband went to the banker, Frederica, and asked him to advise him. He said, you pay the last. Just the same thing what I told him. We waited so long, we went and struggled. So the banker that we used to...